All right, good morning, Croup Prairie. How are y'all? It is a good day to be in the Lord's house. Thank y'all for having me again. I don't know if y'all are sick of me yet, but Pete invites me all the time, and he hasn't heard me preach yet, so he don't know if I'm doing a good job or not, so he's just going to keep on inviting me over. But I really do appreciate the opportunity to speak God's word. And I sweat in general, so if y'all see some sweating, just ignore it, because I can be in my bedroom and I'll sweat. So just a little background. I think I've told y'all before, but I've been preaching, I couldn't tell you how many years now, probably 4 or 5 years. And I used to be the backwards kid in school. I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't go out of my way to talk to people. I wouldn't get up in front of a crowd to speak to people. But the Lord has anointed me now. I remember 10th or 11th grade at the Fields of Faith, and I was asked to speak there, and I spoke a 15-second message. and now, last Sunday, I was preaching at my church, and then I preached 50 minutes, and I got in trouble because they said I was long-winded. Not really got in trouble, but my mom was giving me dirty looks. And so I will not keep y'all that long this morning, so I know everybody wants to get home and eat some lunch. Some things the Lord has been working with me in my life. I'll tell you, I'll never preach at you. I'll always preach to you and to myself, because usually what I'm preaching at this time is something that I'm going through, and I figure other people will be going through it as well. So the Lord has really been dealing on my heart with obedience, about we need to be obedient to what God is telling us to do. We need to obey what God is telling us to do. We don't need to be ignoring Him. We don't need to be putting Him to the side. We don't need to have our will over His will. We need to do what He tells us to do. And another thing that He's been dealing with me is witnessing to the lost. So since y'all get me for 2 weeks, I will be doing something I've never done. I'm going to try to break this into two messages, and we'll see how it goes. Before we get into the Word, I want to start off by asking y'all a question. So why are y'all here today? Why are you here at Croup Prairie? Why are you a Christian? Why are you following Jesus? And you ask yourself these questions, and you start to ponder, why am I here? What is my purpose here? What am I supposed to be doing? Well, I came up with the conclusion that I think all of us could agree to. Now, yes, making heaven is a good answer, but if that's your only reason here, you're going to probably live a sad life until you get to heaven. So I don't recommend doing that. Yes, heaven's going to be great, but I recommend getting deep into God's Word, getting deep into His power so it can flow through you. But my conclusion was, it is our determined purpose to be here, to be a Christian, to be on earth, is so that we can have a more deeply intimate relationship with Jesus, to know Him more. Would y'all agree with that? Would y'all agree that we need to know Him more? We need to build a relationship where, like Casey and Katie, they know each other. Maybe not as well they think, because they get mad at each other. So, as well, I know Lauren. We need to have a relationship with God that I know His will is better than my will. Like, okay, I'm about to lean this way, but okay, God wouldn't want me to do that, so I'm going to go to God's way. So we're going to talk about God's purposes. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 22, that's where we'll start. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 34. So right now, the Lord Jesus, He's speaking to some people, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're sitting here, they're trying to do whatever they can to get Jesus thrown in prison. They're trying to start the process of getting Him killed. They don't like Him. They are afraid of what Jesus is going to do to their organization that they've got going. So, 34 says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested Him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? First of all, let me tell you, don't try to test Jesus, because you're going to lose that battle. That says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So there at the end, it's basically saying, if you can follow these two commandments, you can follow every law that's in the Old Testament. You can obey God. If you can follow these two, everything else will fall in line if you can do these two things. So I'm not going to try to step on y'all's toes too much. I don't want to offend anybody, but today as Christians, we're not doing a good enough job of these two things. We are not loving God with every part of our being, and we are not loving our neighbors as ourselves. So What is love? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That is with every ounce of your being, everything you can think of, you love the Lord God no matter what. No matter when it's a tough time, no matter when it's a hard time, no matter if it's a good time, you're loving the Lord. You notice sometimes, I feel like in my life that I go through stuff, like once I get over something, and then I get, okay, it's good, and then I go through something again. Because you know when those times are getting good, that's when we get further away from God because we don't rely on Him. So God, I'm not saying He's making you go through those things, but He's allowing things to happen to you so you always rely on Him. So there's a story of the shepherd and its sheep, and the sheep kept wandering off and wandering off and wandering off, and the shepherd had to keep going out and getting it. So the thing with the sheep and the shepherd has to maintain to those things, the sheep, all day, every day, all night. He can't let anything get to him. And usually it's hundreds of sheep. And that's the way God is with us. He is tending to us. He's watching out for us. He's making sure the wolf is not coming out to get us. So the shepherd had the sheep. It would wander off and wander off and wander off. So one day the shepherd said, okay, I'm going to break the sheep's leg. And that way the shepherd would take the sheep to the watering hole. He would take him out to the field. He would take him everywhere because the sheep has a broken leg. So the shepherd had to take him everywhere. You know, sometimes in our lives, God is going to have to break our leg, and He's going to have to walk us and take us to the places we need to go. And so after the sheep finally got healed and his leg was broken, he would never leave the shepherd's side. He would always be where he wouldn't wander off no more. And so after God breaks our leg or allows things to happen and we get healed, and we've been so used to the Father right beside us, now we're never going to start running away from the Father. We're always going to stay close to Him. So remember that when we start battling things, when we start going through things, that, hey, God has got a plan, God has got a purpose, and God's got a reason for why I'm going through this. And the end of it, I think it's all for us to draw closer and nearer and to know Him better. So, also some other purposes. I don't know if y'all know this, I go to the Assembly of God just down the road. You know, sometimes the Assembly of God, they get a little rowdy and loud and wild. I'm not going to do that for y'all. But I've been meeting with, I'm trying to build relationships with other churches, other pastors, just to get things, just to have good Christian people in my life. And so I've been meeting with the Baptist, Brother Philip down there, the pastor there, and we've been doing this 15-week study. When he first came to me and said, hey, I want to do this 15-week study, and I'm like, 15 weeks? Golly, that seems like a long time. I don't know if I can do that. But we finished it. We went over 15 weeks, and this book actually was the entire thing was trying to get to know God more. What should I be doing daily to know God more? So some purposes that I came up with after this study, the first purpose is to progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him. So I need to know Jesus as much as I can. The second is to perceive and recognize and understand the wonders of His passion. So why does God do the things He does? Why does this happen, or why does that happen? Well, when you find out, or when you get more acquainted and more deeply an intimate relationship with God, you begin to understand the passions that He has for Him. Like why He's got you going down this path, why He's got maybe this person looks like they got a perfect life and nothing's going wrong, and you're struggling. Hey, God's got a reason, God's got a plan for you, I promise you. Third, to experience the power outflowing from His resurrection. That's like miracles. That's when this is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me and lives in you, and we have the same capabilities that Spirit had. And we have the power of His resurrection to see miracles happen, to see people healed, to see people saved. But I can tell you today, now in today's church, not Coupe Prairie, not Mansfield Assembly, as in the body of Christ, we're not seeing enough miracles. We're not seeing enough people getting healed. We're not seeing enough people getting saved. And so we got to focus on this purpose. So these first three, they're all good. We're gonna know God more. We're gonna understand why He does the thing He does. We're gonna experience His power. And this fourth one says, to share in His sufferings, to be continually transformed in the Spirit, in His likeness. Well, that one don't sound too good. The first ones are getting to know Him more and get to experience His power. And now this one says suffering. As human beings, we don't like to suffer. We don't like to go through things. We don't want anything that's gonna make us struggle. So what does this mean? This means I'm gonna suffer, I'm gonna struggle, I'm gonna go through things, just like Jesus did on this earth, because He was tempted in every way. And we're gonna go through those things, and then we're gonna grow. We're gonna continually be transformed more and more like Jesus the more things we go through. Now, honestly, when we go through these situations, there's going to be two voices in your head. There's going to be Jesus' voice, and there's going to be God's voice. And now we've got to be trained. We've got to be reading our Bibles. We've got to be praying so we can discern which voice we're going to listen to. We're going to listen to God's voice. Because the devil's voice, it sounds real good. It sounds like a good plan. Because he likes to tempt you. He likes to get you going. Makes, okay, this looks a lot better than what God's got me going through. But you got to learn to listen for God's voice. I told y'all that the Lord has been working with me obedience, listening to what He says. And the other day I was driving in Fort Smith, and I seen a guy walking, and I don't pick up people because that's just not cool. I don't want to do it. People can't trust anybody nowadays. And the Lord was like, "Hey, you should pick him up. You don't know. It's hot out." I was like, "No, I'll just keep going." So I drove. I was going to a store. Walked out of the store, that same gentleman that I passed was going to the exact same store I was going to. And the Lord talked to me. He was like, "Look, what are you doing? I just told you to do that." And so the Lord will reveal things to you if you pay attention. I probably should have picked that up. But I'm in a process of learning how to be obedient to God. So we learned about these four purposes. So the first two is about getting closer, building a relationship, getting deeper and intimate with God. So how do we do that? First off, it's about reading your Bible. I can tell you right now, I struggle with reading my Bible every day because I get distracted real easy. I need to be in the Word every day, every morning, every night. Sometime during the day, I need to spend some time in the Word and with God. And we need to pray more. So those come hand in hand. So if you're reading your Bible and you're spending time and you're interpreting what it says, you're going to spend some time in prayer. Another thing is keep Bible notes. Does anybody keep Bible notes when you're hearing preachers or pastors? I didn't start till after me and this pastor went through this study. Can anybody tell me what Pete preached last week? I can tell you, I couldn't tell you what my pastor preached last week because I didn't take any notes. What's the point of us coming to church if we're not getting anything from it? Yes, we can get a 30-minute high at 12:30 after eight lunch. You come back, it's like, "That was a good message, but I couldn't tell you what he said. It was a good one." Was it a good one? We need to keep notes, and we need to focus on, because God may be trying to tell you something now, but it don't apply to your life maybe in a month, in a year. So I encourage us to start taking notes. Start, even when we're reading our Bible, take notes. How many times have you read the Bible and you couldn't tell you what you just read? I've done that multiple times. I just read and it's like, "Well, Lord, thank you. I don't know what it was, but thank you." We need to focus on what God's trying to tell us. We need to focus on getting deeper into His Word. We need to focus on becoming more intimate with Jesus Christ. So everyone wants to experience the power outflowing from God. We all want to, you know, Jesus said He had to go away. He had to be crucified. He had to die so that the Holy Spirit would then come. And so what happened? Jesus had to die for that process, first to save us from our sins, but for the Holy Spirit to come. Basically, when the Holy Spirit came, it opened a one-on-one direct link to Jesus, or to God, the Father. That means we don't got to go to a priest. We don't got to go sacrifice lambs. The sacrifice was already made. Well, now I can just talk directly through the Holy Spirit, directly to God, without any interruptions. So that made the whole process of talking to God and praying easier. So today, as human beings, I can tell you we like to live comfortably. We like to not be discomfortable. I can tell you at my church, if I walk into my church and somebody's sitting in my pew, and then I got a new pews, that ruined the whole service because now I'm uncomfortable. I'm out of my element. People sitting in my seat, I'm like, and you're just staring up the whole time, like, "Those people, jeez." We don't like to be comfortable. I'm saying, if I told y'all to stand up and switch sides of the room, I don't know if y'all could listen to me speak another word because y'all's all uncomfortable where you're sitting. So when things happen in our lives and it makes us uncomfortable, we like to say, "God, why are you making me do this? Why is this going to happen?" We need to start saying, "God, okay, there's something to get out of this situation. There's something to learn. There's something that can draw me and get me closer to God." A lot of businesses, a lot of companies had to start. If you want to be a successful person, you've got to take risks. You got to be in a position to be uncomfortable. So think about any business, let's say Apple, Google, YouTube, any of these big businesses. They mostly all started out of a garage, and they had no money. And so first of all, having no money, that's already uncomfortable. I can tell you that because I have no money. So having no money is not a comfortable feeling. Then also now you're taking a risk starting a business, going in debt with no money, and hoping that it pays out. So to be successful in God and to with Jesus, we need to be able to have those uncomfortable experiences and to be okay with it. To know, hey, this is drawing me closer to God. And when we go through situations, we got to think, am I loving God with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength, like that first commandment says? Our entire lives, we have been going through tests. When a baby is born, immediately the doctor takes them and they start running all these tests to make sure the baby's okay. The blood pressure, or not the blood pressure, the heart, everything's like, is the baby functioning correctly? So you start out with tests. Then you get into school, and it's just test, test, test. You have to pass a test to go to the next grade. Then finally, after 12 years of that, you get into your senior year, and then you got to take a test to see if you're good enough to go to college or you're good enough to get money. There's tests all around us. And then currently today in our lives as Christians, we're going to be going through test and test and test. And those tests are going to get us closer to God. Think about, if we go through tests, I think God uses tests to see if you're ready to upgrade to the next step in your life, to upgrade your relationship with God. If you fail a test, if you were to fail a grade, guess what? You don't get to go to the next one. You got to do that one until you can show that you can pass that grade. So God is going to use tests to say, okay, hey, they showed good faith here. They trusted me. They believed in me. They knew that what I was doing. And you obeyed God. Obedience. You obeyed God. So now you've kind of upgraded your relationship with Him, and now you're able to carry on more of a load. If Apple said, hey, we're coming out with this waterproof watch, here you go and sell it, that doesn't happen. It has to go through a test phase. Someone literally has to get the watch on and jump in some water to show that it's waterproof. They can't just claim that it's waterproof and someone puts it on and then you get in the water, you're like, well, that now it's broke. There's some tests that occur for things to get on to the next phase. And so as Christians, we want to be proven. We want to have tests that prove that, hey, I am capable of God's word. I am capable of doing what God says. I'm capable of obeying what God says. And as we do that, the whole first commandment of getting closer to God with all our strength, with all our mind, with all our heart, is going to become easier. All right, so I talked about we got to read our Bibles, we got to pray, we got to take Bible notes, we got to invest in Christ. And then we've got to apply it. There's so many Christians, there's so many people that have all this knowledge. They have way more knowledge of the Bible and Jesus than I do. But if they keep it up here and they never apply it to their lives, it's no good. You're not doing anything with what God has given you. So when we read and we pray, we got to process it in our minds, and then we have to go out to the world and apply it to our lives. I notice when preaching, if I get going and I start talking, then I go back to my notes and there's an awkward silence. It makes it feel more spiritual. So I'm just messing with y'all. So the second thing in that, I'm not going to go too deep because I wanted to kind of save it for next week. It says to love thy neighbor as yourself. When I was younger and I read that scripture, I thought, I got to love my neighbors, my next door neighbors, I got to love them. That's all I got to do. And at the time, I lived next to some people that were not lovable. I had a homosexual next to me. I had a crazy old lady. Then I had a guy that didn't work. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be tough. I can't love these people. How am I going to love the rest of the world? But can I tell you, if you can't love God with every part of your being, you're never going to reach that phase of loving your neighbor. You've got to reach that, I got to love God with everything I can. And then that second one will start applying. It'd be easy. If you can love God, you're going to love people. We'll back up for a second also. Like in Greek, the word love, there's three words for love. Has anybody ever said the word love? I think everybody probably said, I love you to your spouse, to your parents, to your kids. Well, in the Greek, there were three interpretations of the word love. And I think now as human beings, we use love real loosely and when we don't mean it. They had love like a brotherly love, and they had the agape love, was the love of God. And nowadays, we just throw, I love you, I love you. Because, like, remember in high school when you had a girlfriend or something, or boyfriend, you just said, I love you, and you didn't even know what it meant. I love you. Honestly, I want to mean something when I say it. in high school, you had no idea. You just had feelings, and you thought that was love. Can I tell you, there are so many younger kids and younger people that are using the word love. And there's adults that use it too, and they don't even comprehend what that word means. And nowadays, I look and I'm like, when the kids are like, they dated a week and they said, I love you. And I'm like, no, you don't. Y'all don't even know yet. Y'all ain't even got no struggles. You don't hate their guts yet. So, but if you can't comprehend the love of God, how can you truly love somebody else? So, when I think of somebody that's not a believer and they say, I love this person, well, you don't even know what true love is. Because true love is when someone says, hey, these people are rotten. These people deserve to go to hell. But guess what? I'm going to die. I'm going to shed my blood so they don't have to. That's what true love is. And so when we think of the concept of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, that's what kind of love that we need to show back to him. Because there's a debt that you can't pay. There's a debt that you owe. And nothing you can do will ever get that debt any closer. But I can say, we can't pay this debt back. It's impossible. So let's at least show God that, hey, I'm obedient. I'm thankful for what you did. So I'm going to obey your word. I'm going to start loving people. I'm going to start loving you, God. And so we got to start loving our people. That's every brother in Christ, every sister in Christ. We need to love them with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our might. And so that's what Jesus has commanded. He commanded these people to love people, love, show the love of God to everyone else. I'll give you a preview for next week, is we're gonna get into the witnessing part. And then that people, you may not be here next week because you don't want to witness to people and you don't want to get your toes stepped on. But we're going to talk about what we need to do as Christians. Are we doing enough? Do you know there are 6 churches in Mansfield? I counted them. There are 6 churches in Mansfield. And guess what? They're all about the same. They're all not... With 6 churches in Mansfield, how small it is, Coop Prairie should be filled to the back. Mansfield Assembly of God should be filled to the back. The First Baptist should be filled to the back. Every church should be filled to the back if we've got 6 churches doing what God has commanded them to do. And so by seeing that these churches are not filled to the back, that shows me that me as a Christian, as us as Christians, that we've got to do more of God's work. We've got to do God's work. We've got to get people saved. We've got to get people in love with Jesus. And that starts out with us expressing and showing love to others. If the worship team will come back up, like I said, I'm not going to keep y'all too long. I don't want to. Everyone else, let's just stand. Let's stand over the building. And let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. Now, God has commanded us to love Him, to build a relationship with Him, to get more deeply and intimately connected with Him. And He's commanded us to take that love that He shows and to take that love that we have, and we need to apply it to our lives and show everybody else the love. As parents, I'm not a parent, but as parents, you don't want anything bad to happen to your kids. You don't want them to go to hell. And so you warn them about things. You warn your kids about things. And sometimes now they get angry or frustrated, like, oh, my parents are the worst. But then you can remember when you were a kid, you thought the same thing, and now you're like, man, I should have listened to my parents. Well, God is telling us. He's our Father, and He's telling us, hey, I just need you to love me. I need you to love other people. I need you to build a relationship. You got to trust me. When things are getting tough, that's when you need to buckle down and get deeper into Word. Get deeper into God. Get deeper into that relationship with Him. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to open the altars. If anybody is feeling like they need to spend some time with the Lord, we can. If not, we're going to listen to the praise team worship. Lord, we just thank You for this day. We thank You for Your Word. I thank You for this opportunity to share Your Word, Lord. I thank You for Your sacrifice that You showed the ultimate love. You say, no greater love is the one that lays down for their friend. And You are a friend, God. You laid Your life down so I did not have to go to hell. You laid Your life down that I may have more opportunities in this life. Lord, You laid Your life down that I can express love to others, that I can witness to others, that I can have life more abundantly, that I don't got to live a miserable life, that I can have life so much abundant. And Lord, if my only purpose was to go to heaven When I would have said that prayer, I would have gone to heaven. But Lord, you've got such more purpose for me on this place. And Lord, we just want to love you. We just want to thank you. We just want to be deeper and closer to you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.